In your Bibles to Book of Isaiah. I'll do my best today not to preach past 2 o'clock. I know some of y'all are so hungry you can't hardly stand it. Amen. We're going to read. First of all, we want to read out of the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Then we want to go to chapter 66. And I'll probably talk to you this morning about a subject that's not very popular anymore. Seems like that I'm on a run of subjects that's not popular. But I want to talk to you about hell. Hellfire. And I was reading this week, there's an old black preacher. This happened years ago now. He was preaching, now this is just a little comical here. He's preaching on hell, and he pictured hell as a region of ice and snow where the damned froze throughout eternity. And afterward, are y'all listening now? Did I get your attention? Yeah, that's what I thought. Afterward, somebody asked him how come he represented hell in that way. He said, and he was speaking in his broken English, you know, like sometime the old-timey black folks did. And he said, "I don't dare tell them people nothing else. If I were to say that hell was warm, some dim old rheumatic arthritis, well, he used a word we don't use anymore, would be wanting to start down there on the first frost." Well, I want to tell you this morning, hell is not cold. It's very, very hot. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's see. Isaiah chapter 9. Amen. One verse out of that chapter, verse 18. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Now, before we go to chapter 66, let me just tell you. This verse clearly states that sin and wickedness are the cause of the destruction of the nation of Israel. And he is saying here in this verse, like a fire out of control, it devours all things that's in its way, briar and thorn and patches in the thicket of the forest. And they'll set up great columns of smoke when they are burned. Amen. I don't know about you here this morning, but that's one place I do not want to go. And anybody in their right mind wouldn't want to go there. Amen. In Isaiah 66 and verse 24, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh." Now, if you're not accustomed to reading such verses, amen, I just want to give you an insight here into this verse especially. And in time to come, men on the earth will be permitted to look into eternal hell at certain openings and see the punishment of rebels forever as a perpetual warning against sin and transgression. Now, he reads here in this verse about the carcasses. That's the bodies of people that are in eternal hell, which will never be destroyed. And bodies that will have been resurrected to immortality or deathlessness, so that they may be punished for deeds done in the body before death. This refers, I got some more scripture on the read if y'all don't mind standing. This verse here in Isaiah 66:24 refers to all men of all ages who have died in sin and will be sent to eternal hell, where their worm will not die and the fire will not be quenched. Their carcasses of the worm and the worm are in a fire which shall never be quenched. There will be an abhorring to all flesh living on the earth, on the new earth. The purpose of this opening to hell will be to cause coming generations to abhor sin and its consequences, when natural men can actually see into eternal hell. It will be a great warning to them that walk in ways that is contrary to God. Amen. If you will, this morning, let's go to the 19th chapter of Genesis. We just won't read two or three verses out of this chapter. And I think we're all acquainted with this chapter. When we read here, you'll immediately recognize Lot and his family that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. When the angel tried to get them to leave, in verse 16, and while he lingered, the men or the angels laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and said that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Amen. In verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading these verses out of Genesis, and I wondered why, after the stern warning of the angels, why Lot would linger before he actually obeyed the angels of the Lord. The angel forcibly brought Lot and his wife and his two daughters, and he forcibly brought them out and warned them to escape to the mountains. And yet, in this chapter, if you read the whole chapter, he entreated the angels to allow them to go into this little city of Zoar in the plains. And the angels granted him his request. The name of that little city originally was Bela. Now it's been changed to Zoar, which means little, in commemoration of his plea for mercy. Now, Lot chose the plain and went into Sodom, a prosperous man, with herdsmen, cattle, and riches. Amen. I want you to notice how he came out with only the shirt and clothes on his back.
Come out a man that had nothing.
And I want to tell you, hell is going to be awful. Now, you don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to be a drug addict. You don't have to be a whoremonger. You don't have to be an adulteress to die lost and go to hell. Amen. I want the Lord to help me this morning. I want to start today on this subject of hell fire. Amen. Lot started out just pitching his tent, toward Sodom. Amen. Wasn't in Sodom to start with. He just pitched his tent toward Sodom. Finally, he moved into Sodom. Amen. And I want to say this morning, if you don't ever want to live in Sodom, don't pitch your tent in that direction. Amen. And if you don't want to be numbered with a whirling crowd, amen, don't pitch your tent in that direction. Amen. Don't run with that crowd. The Bible tells us evil communications corrupt good manners. What is that saying? That means simply the crowd that you run with, you're going to become like. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, there's no boundaries to fire or sin because it most always gets out of control. Sin, even though a lot of people say, well, God's no respecter of person, that's very true, but neither is sin. Devil don't care who you are. He don't care who your mom and daddy was. He don't care how good a church you go to. Amen. If you start running with that crowd of worldlings, amen, sin's going to get a hold of your heart and soul. And after a while, you're going to think that sin's not so bad after all. Amen. I want you to listen to me this morning. Amen. I run across this little story one time. It said, say, brother, how's things going in your house? Oh, just fine, except I've got just a little fire burning over in the corner of my house. It's not bad, but when I get home, I plan to put it out. What a foolish man that is. Amen. It'll burn the house to the ground before he ever gets home because it's too late. Amen. There's a fire burning in your heart. Come on here. There's just a little sin in your heart. It's enough to keep you out of heaven. It don't have to be a bad, big, bad sin. Don't have to be an ugly sin. Amen. There's no sin going to enter that celestial city. Come on. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. And I want to say, I was reading, and I've got a lot of things in my library that I've read. Amen. I was reading about Queen Elizabeth at 70 years old. She said, all my riches would I give for a moment more of time. Amen. Time swiftly gets away from us. Amen. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not supposed to be this old this quick. Amen. But time has a way of sneaking up on us, on the blind side, when you're not expecting time to get to where you are. Amen. I remember reading about Voltaire, that renowned infidel, when he was dying on his dying deathbed. He said, oh Christ, oh Lord Jesus, I must die, abandoned of God and men. William Pope, amen, said, once I could and would not, now I want to and cannot. Amen. Sin takes its toll on people's lives. Amen. Oh, what a strange world eternity without God's going to be. Amen. I want to say again this morning, you don't have to be a bad, ugly sinner to go to hell. moral people, good moral people, is going to hell. And they will be with the druggies. They'll be with the murderers. They'll be with all that other crowd that's a whole lot worse than they are. Amen. But the reason is because they've never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And hell is an awful place. Amen. In eternity without God, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no business, there's no water, there's no friends. Amen. Somebody said to me one time, said, when I get to hell, I'll have lots of friends. Probably a lot of your friends will be there, but there won't be no friendship. Amen. Amen. No friends, only desolation, only night, only darkness, and emptiness forevermore. Well, there are awful words that resound throughout the void of shoreless space and eternity. You're going to hear the words, lost, lost, lost. Amen. And I see people that go to church on a pretty regular basis. And I fear for their soul because they've really, really never made a definite, positive conviction, amen, of their soul to God. Amen. Help me here this morning. Amen. Y'all can say amen when you feel like it. If you believe what I'm talking to you, hell's going to be an awful place. Somebody say amen. Amen. I read this incident in a book of mine. It said the sentence of the damned includes hellfire, a tremendous penalty, which we dare not explain away. Amen. As just a thought in the figment of imagination. No man has the authority to deny hell. Jesus said, amen, concerning that rich man in the 16th chapter of Luke's gospel. Amen. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Amen. Being in torment. Amen. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Somebody said, that's just a parable. No, it's not a parable. Jesus said there was. Didn't say it was likened to. Jesus said there was a rich man who fared sumptuously every day. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Matter of fact, amen, Jesus gave the time period, amen, where that man lived. For the man said, I have five brethren. Amen. Send Lazarus back that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Send Lazarus back. I've got five brethren that they not come to this place of torment. And Jesus said, come on, y'all stay with me. Jesus said, they have Moses and the prophets. Amen. If they'll not hear Moses and the prophets, they're not going to hear anybody that comes back from the dead. Amen. And that's true. Amen. You don't have to listen to this preacher. Amen. You don't have to listen to any evangelist that comes and preaches, amen, to you about eternity and lost forever. But I'll tell you what. Amen. Somewhere in eternity, you pray and ask God, amen, to have mercy on your soul. But the problem is, it'll be too late. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Hellfire is not just the only thing that's suffering in eternity. There is the worm that dieth not. What is that worm? Amen. Help me here. That worm is your conscience, your mind, that you remember going to the house of God. You remember hearing that preacher preach. You remember every service that you went to. And you could have prayed and didn't pray. Amen. The worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. Help me here this morning. Amen. Ah, that self-consuming, everlasting anguish of your mind that torments you through eternity. You've been a fool. You could have fixed it. You could have prayed. You could have knelt at an altar. Amen. You could have just turned your back on sin, but you didn't. You wanted to to indulge in the pleasures of the world. And now look at you. Come on here. Amen. The fearless, that comfortless. Amen. Unutterable. How destitute of despair and the abominable spirit that's in hell fire. Amen. Because you did not make restitution when you could have. In hell. Amen. That hidden or sunken place, wherever it is. Bible talks about it being in the midst of the earth. Amen. The book of Revelation talks about, amen, the smoke ascending up forever and ever. Amen. The Bible talks about it being a lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. Amen. A bottomless pit. A fire that's unquenchable. Amen. A fire. Help me here. Amen. That does not exist like in this world. Somebody said to me one time, said, I'm in a living hell. No, you're not. Amen. You're living in the best life that you'll ever live. Amen. Right here and now. Amen. But if you die lost and you die unprepared and your soul is not ready for eternity, I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how many times you sit on these kissing pews. Amen. I don't care how many times you hear this preacher preach or somebody else preach about eternity lost. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, if you don't make sure about your soul's destiny, amen, eternity is a long way from God. Suppose a little boy playing close to a fire. What would you want me to do if I saw a little boy playing close to a fire? Amen. You'd want me, I'm sure, I think you would, tell that child, get away from the fire. Amen. And if I turn around and get busy and I, amen, I look again and see him again, amen, I'm responsible to warn him the second time. Amen. Son, get away from the fire. You're going to get burned. Come on here. Amen. And if I turn around and he's playing in it again, amen, don't blame me if I turn around to that child and swat him on the backside and say, I told you to get away from the fire. I think you as a parent would want me to do that for your child. Amen. Because you don't want them to get burned. Amen. I tell you this. Amen. I am surprised that today, I want the Lord to help me this morning. I'm surprised to hear parents complain about the preacher preaching about hellfire. Amen. And don't they understand that their children's going to go there if they don't get a warning? Amen. Mom and daddy's going there if you don't get warned and fix it. Amen. Help me here. Amen. Folks ought to thank me as the pastor for preaching against sin in the world. Amen. To keep you and your children from going into eternal hell. Amen. I remember reading about, I didn't preach too much longer this morning. I remember reading about the mother who put her little baby in a bassinet next to the fireplace while she went outside to hang the clothes out on the line. And when she came back, the baby had jostled the crib over, and that darling infant baby fell into that fireplace. And when the mother, amen, came in, the baby's feet were burned off. Amen. I want to tell you, I'm trying to help somebody to be sure about your soul destiny. Amen. Hell is a place of torment forever. Amen. 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 Voltaire, in his dying moments that I just read to you a moment ago, what he said, he went further than that. Amen. His colleagues of infidels was gathered around his bedside while he was gasping for his last breath. He said, "You wretches, do not tell me there's not a God. Do not tell me there's not hell. Amen. For I am standing in his angry presence now, and my feet's on fire. Pull me up in the bed. Amen. I'm dying and going to hell. Oh, God. Amen. I wish I could get people to wake up. The worldly pleasures are not worth the price that you're going to have to pay after a while if you don't get it fixed." You're responsible. You are responsible not to get too close to the fire. The angel of the Lord said to Lot and his wife and his two precious daughters, "Escape for your life. Flee to the mountains. Get out of here. Judgment's about to fall." Am I doing all right this morning? Amen. Y'all don't understand, Lot. Say, Lot's wife. Amen. You don't understand. Amen. Fire and brimstone's about to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. Lot and his wife lost. Amen. Some sons-in-laws in that fire of brimstone of Sodom. Amen. Evidently they had other daughters because they had sons-in-laws. Amen. And they too perished in that horrible brimstone and fire. Amen. No wonder the angel grabbed them by the hands and literally pulled them out of the city. Amen. And said, "Flee to the mountains." Amen. Judgment's getting ready to fall on this city. Can I tell you this morning, judgment's about ready to fall on some souls. Amen. Help me here. And I don't want you lost. I don't want your blood on my hands. When I stand before God, you're going to have to answer, amen, to the eternal God for the way that you lived in this world. Don't be so foolish as to try to make a compromise. Oh, let us go to this little city. Amen. The angel said, "Flee to the mountains." Come on here. Flee to the mountains. Didn't say go to a little city. Amen. Said flee to the mountains. Amen. And God's word said, amen, don't fool with the world and the worldly pleasures. Amen. That's what a lot of folks wanting to do now. Just play with the world and still go to church. Amen. But I want to tell you, flee to the mountains. Judgment's coming to America. Judgment's going to come to souls. Amen. That's not sure about their eternal. Oh, get away from the fire. Amen. You got a fire burning of sin in your life. Amen. Get rid of it. Put it out. I'm marching. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. If God would allow you this morning to peer inside of that eternal place that's called hell, you would never want to indulge in the worldly pleasures again. Whatever it takes, amen, whatever you have to do, amen, is worth whatever you have to give up, whatever you have to surrender, amen, is indeed worth more, amen, to be sure about your soul than to have the pleasures of this world that only last for a season. I would like to say this morning to some precious souls, get away from the fire. If that precious woman, that precious mother had a known, amen, that her baby was going to turn that bassinet over, amen, and fall into the fire, she'd have put him plumb across the room or even took it outside with her. Amen. If she had a known, help me here this morning, I'm trying to talk to y'all. Amen. But the eternal consequences of being lost in eternity without God. Amen. Amen. Oh, preacher, if you'd have just warned me. Oh, preacher, if you'd just told me, I'm warning you. Amen. I'm trying to get your eyes open. I'm trying to get you to realize how awful hell's going to be without God. Amen. Hit me here. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, to be lost without God in eternity. For I, the Lord, hath called you once again. Yea, you have heard my voice before. You have felt the tugging of my spirit in your soul before. And yea, I say unto thee that the Lord has spoken to your heart even this day. Draw nigh unto me, saith the Lord, and fear eternity without God. For yea, the Lord hath called you once and called you twice. Yea, the Lord hath spoken to your heart this day, even the third time. Come nigh unto me, yea, and I shall forgive your sin, saith the Lord. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I understand this is not popular preaching. It's not a subject that's dealt with these days. But I pray God, somebody realize this morning the uncertainty of life and the certainty of being lost without God. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed. How many of you good saints this morning has got loved ones that you don't want to see dying lost and go to hell? How many of y'all raise your hand, saints? The devil don't care who they are. He wants one thing, and that's their eternal soul. I wonder this morning while every head is bowed and everybody's praying. I need to pray in church right now. I wonder if there's one soul here in this congregation today. Let's lift your hand up, preacher. I sure don't want to be lost without God. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to go to that place that you preached about this morning. Is there one soul in this congregation that'll raise your hand today? I'm reaching for you. I'm reaching for you this morning. Is there one in this congregation anywhere that'll slip your hand up, Bill Savage? Please pray for me. I've been raised right. I know what's right. But I fear for my soul. Is there one anywhere in this congregation? I'm gonna have us come pray in just a moment. But I don't want one soul leave this place today and say I didn't have a chance. Preacher didn't give me an opportunity. Is there one in this place anywhere? Raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I don't care if you've been coming to church all your life. Amen. If there's something in your soul, if there's a little fire of the world or sin that's in the corner of your house, you need to get it covered by the blood of Jesus. Is there one anywhere in this place this morning?